You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome in on the 5th of March. We say hello to you on a Tuesday. A lot happening in our world and hopefully in yours. We'll get right to it with some pretty big news from Dartmouth University. Yes, the Ivy League. Surprise, surprise, the players have voted to join the local union. What does this mean to college sports, or is it just a continuum? We'll get deep into this by the end of the show. We hope you'll stick around. Meanwhile, The Athletic is out with the top 25 coaches in America, and Alabama has taken a free fall. They have the number one coach. Where is Kalen DeBoer? Just kidding, of course. Alabama has fallen from 1 to 4. Kirby Smart's the new king of college football. Dabo Sweeney, obviously, his work still speaks loudly. And what about Lance Leipold? Just got an extension at KU. He's considered the third best coach in the country by our next guest, DeBoer, Ryan Day, Brian Kelly, Franklin, Whittingham, Lincoln Riley, even after a disastrous year, and Mike Norvell. Sarkisian is at number 11. Where's Lane Kiffin? That's my question. Bruce Feldman, always nice to join us. Bruce, this is fun. It's early March, and you and your colleague Stu Mandel put this out every year. Good afternoon. And I don't think there's too much mystery about number one, but after that, there is a lot of questions, I'm sure. How did you go about putting this together, and what went into your thought process as we say hello?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a lot of change now, Paul, because obviously, you know, the greatest coach of all time has retired. And then the guy who just won the national title, Jim Harbaugh, moved to the NFL. So it's a clear cut number one choice with Kirby. I thought, you know, given what Dabo Sweeney has done, all he has done at Clemson, I know the program right now feels like it's backsliding some, but it's really, really, really hard to win national titles in college football. Very few guys have done it. He's won two. He obviously beat Nick Saban a couple of times. He's had a 6 top 4 finishes since 2015. I don't think that he's handled the transfer portal in a great way to maintain his program. But even as it feels like it's backslid, they're still 30-10 the past 3 years. And again, just because of what he's done before that and really revised Clemson and turned it into a powerhouse, I couldn't see anybody else I could make a strong enough case to be in front of him.
And Leipold, I agree with you. I think he's a really, I was about to say underrated coach, but with you putting him at number three, he's not going to be underrated for long. But talk a little bit about Leipold at Kansas, who many people have their eyes on. He just got an extension.
Yeah, he's just been an amazing coach for a long time. And it's interesting because a few years back, I know he had interviewed for the Vandy job when Clark Lee got it. And obviously Clark Lee has a lot of ties to the program as a young and up and comer. I know they were impressed with Leipold, but they didn't hire him. Kansas did. He is, you know, that program was in such a deep hole. I mean, Les Miles was there and just it was in disarray. He got them back to the top 25. I mean, they were horrific. And, you know, in his first year, they get their first road win at Texas ever, and they snap an 18-game Big 12 losing streak. The next year, he gets them in the top 25 for the first time in 13 years. And then last year, they win 9 games, and they beat Oklahoma for the first time in over a quarter century. It is amazing what this guy's done. He got Buffalo when he was there into the top 25. That's a brutal job. And before that, he won 63 national titles. I mean, I get it. A lot of people don't know what he looks like. A lot of people probably aren't paying too much attention to Kansas football. But the guy is a miracle worker by college football standards.
DeBoer should not be a big surprise. I guess the fact that Alabama doesn't have the number one or two coach does seem surprising, but you've had DeBoer ranked very high for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think Alabama and Greg Byrne got it right. I mean, they were able to get him there. You look what he did. I think some people may forget that program at Washington was 4-8 before he showed up, and they went 25-3 the next 2 years and were 10-1 against top 25 teams. His record all time against ranked opponents is 12-2. That's pretty eye-opening. And, you know, again, this is from a feel like another lifetime ago, but he was 67-3 when he was an NAIA coach at Sioux Falls and won three national titles. I mean, what he's done, not just, you know, as he's risen up, but what he just did in the last 2 years, really remarkable.
Brian Kelly at number six, a little bit higher than he was. I mean, to me, this guy should always be considered that well, but the year was weird. 10 wins, it didn't feel like they accomplished everything, but just talk a little bit about Brian Kelly as one of your top coaches.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. He consistently wins 7 years in a row with 10 wins or more. He always has very good teams. It's just like the question is, can he really produce a great one? I mean, if you look, even at LSU, he's only 3-5 against top 25 opponents since he's been there. And they've been blown out in a lot of big games. And ultimately, I think, you know, at LSU, it's all about national titles. The last three coaches they've had there, the one thing they've had in common is they all won national titles. And, you know, that's the challenge for Brian Kelly. He's a really good coach. But again, it's just, what do you do in those big games?
A really difficult year for Mark Stoops. You elevate him from 18 to 14. He does get the big win in the bowl game, against Louisville, but it seemed like less than spectacular. What do you see in Mark Stoops that obviously Texas A&M also saw and other people do as well?
Yeah, Paul, I just have a lot of respect for what he's done. It's Kentucky football. I mean, obviously that's a basketball school. You know, you look at the sustained success over and over a century of playing football, they've only had 4 10-win seasons, and he's had two of them. You know, I just think it's really amazing what he's been able to do consistently there. You know, it's if you take out that pandemic 2020 season when they didn't have non-conference games, they went 5-6. You know, that was the only losing season they had. And, you know, going back now, coming up on 8 years, that's a really, you know, remarkable run, just in the regard of, you know, previously before he got there for about 70 years, they didn't have a longer stretch of winning seasons of 4 years. So I think you have to consider where he's doing it, the place he's doing it at. Like, it's Kentucky football. It's not Vandy, but in terms of, like, you know, what he's done there, I just don't think he gets enough credit.
You have a couple other things quickly, and I want to get to you have Heupel at 17. He's up from 22. This is the one I think we're going to get some conversation from here on the program today. Lane Kiffin at 21. His fans believe he should be ranked higher than that. A lot of people do. Bruce, you've known this guy a long time. Why at 20? Why is he at 21?
I think he's done a really good job, and like Sark, I think he's grown quite a bit from earlier in his career. And I think after this year, I mean, that team is loaded. They've gone, you know, they have a really strong NIL operation there around Ole Miss. And I think they have a chance to be to make a run at not just getting the playoff. Now with a 12 team playoff isn't going to be as meaningful as just getting to a 4 team playoff. But I think they have a chance to make a run at being a legit national title contender. But big picture wise, it's, you know, he's 7-8 against top 25 teams since taking over in Oxford. That's not terrible, but that's not, you know, that's not great. I think he is a guy who, if you look at his record against top 10 teams, he's 3-10, and I'm sorry, 3-15. So again, I think he's grown and gotten better. And I think Ole Miss is getting the best version of where he's been. But just taking the whole picture in, as opposed to maybe the last couple of years, that's why I didn't have him higher than where I had him. And again, it's hard on this list to, you know, to keep it to 25, just because you look at some of the coaches who are around them. They're still really terrific coaches as well.
And you have some coaches who just missed a cut. Cristobal, who's been higher, I believe. Matt Campbell, who at one time was one of those hot coaches. P.J. Fleck, a couple of years ago, he was in a Mack Brown, who's been probably in the top five. They all just missed the cut. But also Eli Drinkwitz missed the cut. Surely not to make you any friends in Columbia who think they have one of the top coaches around.
He had a terrific year there, and I think he's done a nice job. And he had, his one year at App State, he did really, really well. That was a tough one. I mean, you kind of rattled off the names. I mean, Troy Calhoun's a guy I really respect. Jamie Chadwell. It's just, it's really hard. Once you get in there, like, look, I have Freeze 23. He didn't have a great first year at Auburn, but, he won at Ole Miss. He got Liberty into the top 20. Before, in his first job, he was at Arkansas State. They won 10 games. That program hadn't even had a winning season in 15 years. I mean, it's a top 25 that you'd like to have 40 spots for.
I have to compliment you. You have a guy at 25 who, to me, has always been considered one of the top coaches. In fact, in 2006, this man turned down the Alabama job. He had it. He let it go. That was after Saban turned it down. Speaking of Rich Rodriguez, who a lot of you probably don't realize, is at Jacksonville State. Easily the most interesting name in the top 25, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, when he was at West Virginia, I don't know if people remember just how good they were. I mean, they had three top 10 seasons in his last 3 years at West Virginia. Then he accepts the Michigan job. It's not a good fit. It's not a good time for him to go in there with his zone read. They go 3 wins, 5 wins, 7 wins. They fire him. Then he goes to Arizona, and he wins 26 games in 3 years. They'd never won more than that in any stretch in the school's history. Won 10 games at one point. And then the last 2 years, he's got Jacksonville State. He's 18-6. I almost think people forgot how good of a coach he is. I know his personality is not, is probably not for everybody. It's almost like I think people look at him and they just kind of see him on the sideline. There's a handful of coaches. Brian Kelly's in this group. Certainly you've had a few other guys who get really fired up on the sideline. But this is the godfather of the zone read, and he has really been really good at every stop he's been other than the Michigan job. And who knows how it would have gone at Alabama. I think that would have been a different fit. But I mean, knowing what he did at West Virginia, knowing what he did at Arizona, now knowing what he's doing at Jacksonville State, I do think he deserved credit to be in there.
Bruce Feldman on a fascinating list. Bruce, many thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
Great stuff. We'll talk more about this as the program moves forward. It is early March, and we are looking ahead to the college football season, but not completely. We have some things to share with you as we begin this afternoon with a couple of other things, and including Mitt Winter, NIL attorney, on the news from Dartmouth, Casa Grande from Alabama on a new coach at the podium on the first day of spring practice. And remember Rex Chapman, one of the greatest high school players to ever come out of Kentucky. He was the first pick by the Hornets in the NBA draft, and then his career crashed and burned. He's got a book detailing how everything went wrong. He'll join us later on.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option.
If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in here as we continue. Time to get calls in just a moment. First, a few headlines that are making the news. Women's Hoops Awards are out. Dawn Staley, rightfully winning Coach of the Year. Angel, Player of the Year. Williams, Freshman of the Year. And Cardoso, the Defensive Player of the Year. The tournament begins tomorrow. Casa Grande, new day at Saban's old podium. What was missing? The handoff to DeBoer. Not complete yet, but in transition as we begin with Andre in the ATL. Good afternoon, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum. Now, I'm an LSU fan, but I want you to tell me if you think I'm wrong here. Now, Lane Kiffin has been the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, Florida Atlantic. He's been the head coach at USC, the University of Southern Cal. He's been the head coach up in Knoxville at UT, the University of Tennessee. And he's the head coach at Ole Miss. Now, Lane Kiffin has had more opportunities than a regular coach to have in five lifetimes. What has he done to deserve that, Coach Feinbaum?
Well, first of all, there are different iterations of his career, and you know, I think the early part of it, he was simply not ready, not mature, and he crashed and burned with the Raiders in Southern Cal. I think he rehabilitated himself partly due to his 3 years in Tuscaloosa, and then what I think you've seen since then is a completely different career. I think Bruce has him way too low. I think Lane Kiffin is certainly one of the top 10, 12 coaches in the country right now.
But, Coach, their coaches go four lifetimes and don't get these
well, there's no question he was helped by his father early on. His father was a very well-respected defensive coach. But
right.
He didn't, but since he got fired at Southern Cal, nobody's given this guy anything. He earned the job at Florida Atlantic. He did a spectacular job there, and then from there he went to Ole Miss. He had other offers. He could have gone to Arkansas. He could have gone a bunch of other places. So I think you're not looking at the right way, Andre. You can't worry about the Tennessee job, the USC job, the Oakland Raiders job. You have to look at what he's done in the second part of his career.
And let me ask you something, because you're a straight shooter.
Yes.
What's the ceiling at Ole Miss?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now is what they're capable of. I think the ceiling this year is the playoffs. Maybe a shot at getting in Atlanta. I mean, I think that's how good he's made this program through the transfer portal and especially through the transfer portal.
You know, I was born and raised in Mississippi. I have never seen Ole Miss be great. I've seen them be decent. I had some cousins that played up there back in the 80s. I've seen them be decent, but never great. But when you're talking about climbing to the top of the SEC with Oklahoma and Texas coming in, if he don't make it this year, Coach, I don't think he's going to be able to make it up there. But as always, Coach, listen.
Thank you, Andre. Yeah,
always enjoy your show.
Appreciate it. Listen, I think that goes for a lot of people. You can't judge people by what they were. You have to judge them by what they are, and that's the difference in Lane Kiffin. I mean, I thought his career was over when he got run out of Southern Cal. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Steve is up next in Georgia. Hey, Steve.
Paul, you remember when we used to had to pay for minutes on our cell phone and everything?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I've been on hold since yesterday at 3:45, I'm being evicted today. Thank you. Hey, Paul, I know you're busy. Look, I got a question about assistant coaches, but at first, I got a little background in sports psychology and sports medicine, but a couple of us in the business sort of got together and listened to the last couple of calls of Jim, and I'm not bashing him or trying to criticize him. I just want to offer a little angle from sports psychology on this and everything. So symptoms displayed severe anger, hurt, and loneliness. Mentioning of a lack of role model supported with his father, rejection of his cousins and family. And by the way, Paul, only in the South do third cousins count. Do you know why we count them?
What's that?
Well, it could be dangerous at family reunions in case of hanky-panky, okay? So we just need to know where the tree branches
are. Now, hold on a second, Steve. I was born and raised in Tennessee and went to school in East Tennessee. You're getting really close to the core here, okay?
Well, that may explain things to both of us, okay? All right. Refusal to share his true name and real career. So let's pretend Jim's on the couch. These are the questions that might want to be asked. What's his insecure feeling so much to get to create a false ego in secret life in order to hide failures and insecurities with a lack of purpose? He's a self-made millionaire in Tuscaloosa. I didn't know anybody but Saban was a millionaire, and $1 million is really not a lot of money with inflation, you know? So what Legion team did he play for and when? What radio station did he have his own show? Where in the early 60s when he was 11? So world and others already know maybe where he lives, but his constant scripture quoting toward others sort of being inferior to him and doomed to hell is a perfect example of what Jesus and his parables and the Apostle Paul warned of. He talked about judging others, but Paul talked about, you know, demons can quote the Bible, Paul, and people, you know, they can get, you know, really deep into this without really believing. But he doesn't have a plank of his eye. He has a redwood tree. That's what Jim has in his eye.
Well, thanks for the call, Steve. We're up against a break. Thank you very much. Sorry you had to wait 2 days to get on for that. We will take a short break. We have much more to come straight ahead.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Get your reaction to Feldman and his list and some other things. Philip is up next. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
I miss you. How are you?
Well, I'm in the hospital right now, Paul. But once again, I used your name to get the SEC channel in my room, and it's like magic.
Well, I am glad that I can still contribute something to your life.
for years, you've contributed a great deal, Paul.
Well, you've been a great friend as well for many years. Kept me out of kept me out of a few lineups back in the day.
Well, I've always.
And by the way, I should say this privately, and I'm sure you're well aware, but I heard from a production house today that's working on a documentary on your former client.
Logan?
Yes.
Yeah. I talked with him yesterday. Yeah,
the guy asked me, they wanted to book a time to meet. And I said, yeah, we could do it on March. They said, no, can you do it? Can you be in Memphis? I said, no, I can't be in Memphis. but anyway, we're working on it.
Well, make them come to you, Paul.
Well, it's funny. I am going to be in Memphis in April, so we may be able to work it out. Maybe we'll just do it at your place, in your room.
Well, that'll be fine. Whatever hospital I'm in, feel free to come see me.
I'll be in the cafeteria.
That'll work. Mr. Feldman, I think, made a mistake when he said that Kirby had beaten Saban a couple of times. Didn't he only beat him one time?
One time only, and that was two years ago.
Yeah, 21 in the national championship game. Right. It's not still. I certainly think Kirby should be number one in the rankings. There's no question about that. That just for historical accuracy, I wanted to point out you consistently have the best guests, and Mr. Feldman's one of them. I enjoyed listening to his summation of which coaches.
Well, you know, we appreciate Feldman. I mean, but yeah, we are pretty hard on our guests when we talk. I mean, we work collectively trying to figure out who the best people are, and we can't go to Cecil every day like we used to.
Oh, I miss him. He was great. But everything goes forward. I'm now in my eighth decade on this planet.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that.
Should have taken better care of myself.
Hey, Philip, not that many, you know, I don't know that many people that have made it to your place, so don't be hard on yourself.
Well, I've...
By the way, nobody in my family's ever made it to that age, so to me that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, both of my parents were in their 90s when they went to meet their maker, so maybe I've got a year or two left. Hope so.
It's all that clean living.
Clean, yeah, that's what it was. Clean living. You know me too well.
I do.
Well, Paul, keep up the good work. You'd be amazed that you remember the old farts that we got together.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, to watch the show, they're now over 100 members.
Well,
the
hey,
26.
Philip, save a seat for me. The way things are going, I may be joining you quickly.
Well, we watched the Feinbaum show, so I hope you're not going to join us.
Okay, well, I hope not either. Hey, thanks, Philip. I'll talk to you soon. You bet. Billy is up next in Philly. Hey, Billy. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Good afternoon. I wanted to just make a few comments and hear your comments on the Dartmouth situation. In America is not being well served by its legal profession, I don't believe. Anybody can find a judge, a district attorney, some kind of jury to convict anybody of anything.
I think that's been proven
the
lately.
The people who are waiting on tables in the Dartmouth cafeteria, who are students, are working off a scholarship. My wife did the same thing. They are students. The guys playing sports are students. You can find somebody up there in the woods who will say, oh, no, they're not employees, but they're not. They're students. This has got to end, and I think it will end, because courts will eventually catch up with them. Meanwhile, the attorneys are making millions and millions of dollars in fees on this stuff. I really think it's unfortunate, is all I can tell you. I don't know what your take on it. That's mine.
Yeah, Billy, we have an expert on in a little while, and I'm really curious what he thinks. I don't know yet. I need this is a specific situation, as you know, but it could lead to an epidemic.
Yeah, it's just making fees for attorneys. That's all this is about. These students are not going to become employees nationally. They're not going to be employees in New Hampshire and not in Texas. I mean, stop it.
But you are right about finding a judge. Nowadays, you can find a judge to rule pretty much any way you want he or she to rule.
Correct. Correct. And it's money. I'm
too
sorry.
There was a time when we had faith in our judiciary, but not, well, we had faith in all parts of government, and now there's almost none. Billy, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Be well. Jay is up next in Washington.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Hope you're doing well.
We are. Thank you.
Hey, a longtime listener, sometime caller. Hey, Paul, I called in about 3 weeks ago. And I had the audacity to some of the listeners or the gall to you know, bring up a topic that I thought was important to the listeners, and that the former head coach of Auburn, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, and Cincinnati, and the current senator from the state of Alabama, Tommy Tuberville, made a comment while doing a podcast or radio show, and he made a comment that the United States was responsible for the Russian invasion in Ukraine. That's what he said. I didn't say it. That's what he said.
So you're saying that's what Tuberville said, correct?
That's correct, Paul.
Okay, I read that.
That's correct. Yeah, and as a Army veteran serving over 30 years in the Army, I was appalled by that comment because Vladimir Putin, he doesn't need a U.S. senator to be his apologist. He doesn't. He's the enemy of the United States. He sent money into Iraq and Afghanistan to fund IED development to kill U.S. servicemen and women. That's without refute. He sent weapons into Iraq and Afghanistan to kill U.S. servicemen and women. He put bounties on the heads of U.S. servicemen and women, and that the U.S. senator from the state of Alabama would become his chief apologist, I think for all Americans, would be insulting. But apparently, for some fans of the show who believe in that, those politics, they found it offensive that I would bring that up, especially during your show. But you've often brought up topics that weren't exactly sports in nature, and I appreciate you doing that. But yesterday, Todd called in and brought my name up, and I guess apparently he didn't think I was empathetic enough because I called in and voiced my displeasure over that. And yes, I absolutely am empathetic to the plight of 10,000 Ukrainians that have lost their lives to the biggest mass murderer since Pol Pot, and the nearly 1,000 Ukrainian children who have lost their lives to the biggest mass murderer since Pol Pot. But because I didn't call in and mention Lakin Riley's name, and instead of saying that girl, like Todd did yesterday, he said that girl. Her name was Lakin Riley, the girl, young girl from the University of Georgia who lost her life. And it was so terrible that occurred, and it's tragic. But there's a lot of tragedy, Paul, that goes around. And I think empathy is something that we should all have. But the thing that Todd got wrong again yesterday is that he somehow wanted to, you know, turn it on the immigrants in this country that are coming in. And it's just not true. And certainly in that case, that single case where she lost her life, it was. But the Stanford Research Institute, an organization of some renown, last summer released a study in that U.S.-born citizens are 2.5 times more likely to commit drug crimes, 4 times more likely to commit property crimes, and 5 times more likely to commit violent crimes than undocumented immigrants. So it's not illegal immigrants who are committing the crimes in this country, Paul. It's U.S.-born citizens. And that's not me saying that. Just go do the research. So, you know, Todd wants to beat me up because I made, you know, a dare brought up something about Senator Tuberville that I thought people would want to know. That people want to know that the blood of Vladimir Putin was leading up to the steps of the U.S. Senator of Alabama. And I thought it was important that your listeners should know, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to bring it up, Paul. Love your show. Love what you do. And just to make sure this is not a completely political call, I'll do something for sports. Go Vols. Have a good day, Paul.
Jay, thank you. And thank you for your 30 years of service to this country. And we'll take a short break. Much more to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back in. CP is up next as we continue here on a Tuesday afternoon. CP?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Paul, I just want to piggyback off what the gentleman who was your caller before me was talking about, Senator Tommy Tuberville. People of Alabama need to, and I apologize because I do know this is not a political show, okay?
I understand.
But first of all, Tommy Tuberville is a senior senator from Alabama. He hoodwinked the individuals in Alabama. He lived in Florida. He got elected. Paul, he said that he's from Alabama. This gentleman knew nothing at all about the Voting Rights Act. Nothing at all. He just opened his mouth and have words to come at it. But just to give Tommy Tuberville a little respect, Paul, I'm from Alabama. I don't blame Tommy Tuberville. I blame the people of Alabama who voted for that person. And Paul, and with that being said, I thank you for allowing me to speak, and I yield my time back. Thank you,
very much, CP. You be well. You take care of yourself. Todd is up next.
Hey, Paul, I happened to come in the house and catch Jay running in the mouth. Let me say this. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life for everybody in the world. But if that idiot don't see what's going on in these United States, he's got mule blinders on his damn eyes. And let me tell you something else, Paul. When Biden went into office, he shut the damn pipeline down, and he was buying oil from Putin's ass when he had them trucks lined up on the border, so he had a damn good jump start on some extra money he needed to go into Ukraine and fight that damn war Joe Biden started. So if Jay wants to discuss it, he live in Washington, D.C., but I'll meet his ass halfway because he ain't worth me coming all the way to Washington, D.C. to stomp his ass. I mean, he needs a dollar G ass whooping with his lying ass. And I can't believe that these idiots will watch the damn news. What are they seeing? They seeing illegal immigrants killing our damn people.
Hey, Todd,
in this
Todd,
country.
Todd, listen, I don't, if you want to respond to the guy about Tuberville, that's fine.
I'm done with that. But I'm going to tell you something else, Paul. Did you happen to catch the jamboree going on in Edmond, Oklahoma yesterday?
I must have missed it.
You're going to have to Google it, Paul. The damnedest thing I ever saw. In public schools out there, they having a fundraiser. They done put peanut butter on all these people's feet, and the little 9 through 13-year-old kids are sucking the damn peanut butter off of their feet. Damnedest. What in the hell is wrong with this country, Paul?
I've always liked peanut butter, but I've never tried it on somebody else's feet. Bash is up next.
Bash, Brother Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Randy, glad to have you in the studio, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Paul, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I got to get to work in a few hours at the ball arena for the Nuggets and Suns game, and I got some assignments I got to turn in for school before I do that. So thank you for getting my call in so quickly, and I'm going to fire some rapid-fire questions at you today. Tonight, we got the Alabama Crimson Tide versus the Florida Gators in Florida, so who do you have tonight in that game?
I don't know. Help me out here, Bash.
Okay.
Tough game for Alabama, but I'll probably go with Alabama.
You're right. It is a tough game for them, but it is on the road, and Florida has, unfortunately, they have momentum coming in, and Alabama does have a recent loss to Tennessee. So hopefully, I don't think Alabama has lost two games in a row this season, so we can keep that streak going to the SEC tournament. I like the sound of that. My next question for you, Paul, is do you think we need to get a UFC fight going between Todd and Jay from Washington to settle their disputes? And you think your former agent can get that going?
I don't think Nick would really want anything to do with this. He's always tried to steer clear of politics in his professional career.
That is a great answer, especially with this feud becoming all about politics. And that's why I'm trying to get this show back on sports topic. One more question for you, Paul. Yesterday, I heard a reference of a hockey reference, which I think was the first time ever on this show. So my question for you, Paul, is do you like the sport of hockey, or do you, like most people, you only like the fights that the sport involves?
No, when I grew up, I followed hockey very closely. There was a minor league team in my hometown, and we used to go to the games. I never attempted to play hockey, but I did skate a little bit. I have not watched a hockey game probably in my adult life, though, if you want my answer.
That was an answer I was curious about going forward.
Outside of the Olympics, I have watched those.
Right. Obviously, the U.S. Olympics is part of being American.
Right.
Miracle on Ice, greatest story in sports history.
I see Jim Craig skating right now across my screen.
Isn't he the goalie?
Yeah, I met him right after that, and it was one of those awe-inspiring moments. He had just been part of the Olympic team. We'll take a short break, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.